The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
With no solid plan in place to avoid the chaos witnessed at Dublin Airport last weekend, would you be confident of catching your flight away this bank holiday weekend? Will an Oireachtas Committee grilling of the DAA solve anything? And what of the workers in Dublin Airport trying to keep things running as smoothly as possible? Well, for more on this, I'm joined by Sinn Féin spokesperson on transport, Darren O'Rourke, SIP2 Transport, Energy, Aviation and Construction Divisional Organiser, Karen O'Loughlin, and owner of the TravelExpert.ie, Sarah Slattery. Good morning and welcome to you all. Karen, good morning to you first. Tell us, how did things go yesterday? Because we were assured on this programme that with 45,000 people going through Dublin Airport, that there were no significant problems.
Yeah, so I suppose there are peaks and troughs at the airport in terms of numbers passing through. Early mornings tend to be quite difficult. Weekends are quite difficult. So, and you can see from the reports that 1,000 people missed their flights there a couple of days ago. So it's not getting any better.
But yesterday, given huge numbers, 45,000 going through. Now, we're told going back and forward, in and out of the airport, arrivals and departures, there'll be maybe somewhere close to 400,000 this coming weekend. But 45,000 going through the airport, it sounds to me like business as usual. So it raises more questions about what happened last weekend.
Well, I think that the airport have, the DAA have forward sight of the amount of people that are going to be travelling, and I think they need to find a way to match the rosters to that. In some cases, people are put on the roster who are not available for work. For example, we had a roster a few weeks ago where there was 21 people on the roster, but they were in training and not signed off for duty because they were new. So there are gaps on the roster immediately that can't be
filled. That's incompetence,
so
that kind of thing.
There's a planning issue.
But it's incompetence. And putting people on who are not qualified to be on shows a lack of communication and a level of incompetence within the system to do that. I mean, you wouldn't put a rookie guard from Temple Moor on if he's still down in Temple Moor.
No, you wouldn't, no.
So the difficulties at the weekend, I mean, it is, I think, known to be a fact that many of your members didn't show for work when they were rostered and were qualified.
No, I don't think that's the case, because I think that there is
a, I think that's been said, though. It's been reported that there was a shortage of rostered staff. People did not show up.
I think that if you look at any roster at any given time, you'll have a certain level of absenteeism. But for the DAA now to say that this problem was caused because all of the people that their roster didn't show up, they would need to assert, first of all, were all the people who were rostered actually qualified and available? And secondly, if everybody who was rostered showed up, could they open all of the lanes? And the answer to that question is no, they can't, because they just don't have enough staff. The people who are in the on the coal face of this now, Pat, are getting spat at and having luggage thrown at them and getting dogs abuse at the airport, and they're doing their best. So under those circumstances, it's very stressful and it's a very pressurised environment for the workers.
The other thing is, I must say,
having
been through the airport, I found the staff were absolutely fantastic. I mean, they were hard pressed at the time I was going through. It was a time of the other crisis back in March, and they were absolutely terrific. But you can understand the patience of passengers with young families wearing very thin, perhaps having journeyed from Cavan or someplace like that in the early hours of the morning to make a flight, giving themselves four and a half hours to spare, and they still don't make the flight. They would be wondering what kind of Mickey Mouse operation this is.
I absolutely get it. And the people, our own people on the ground, they get it. You can see the pressure on their faces. They're sweating, trying to move things along, etc. And I absolutely get it. People get frustrated. They lose their patience. They have small kids with them. They've paid a lot of money maybe for a holiday or to go and visit relatives. And all of a sudden they're stranded there and they miss their flight. I absolutely get it. But the person who is sweating in front of you, trying to get everybody through, is not the person who is responsible for this problem. Mm-hmm. But I do understand that people do lose their patience. And having said that now, when people lose their patience in the air, that's treated in a very particular manner. So when the people need to understand, yes, it's frustrating, and yes, it's terribly disappointing, but the answer is not to spit at the person who's trying to help you.
The DAA said the absence of 17 security staff rostered to work on Sunday caused the long queues that led to travellers missing their flights. That's what they said. So it's not rumour or anecdote. This is what they said.
Yeah, but I'd be very interested to know who those 17 were and were they qualified for duty in the first place. I don't have that information. But it is ridiculous. The DAA will tell you that they do not have enough staff to open all of the lanes for all of these busy periods. They know this. So to hide behind an absenteeism problem, a supposed absenteeism problem, that's just ridiculous. I mean, they need to face up to the issue that they let too many people go during the pandemic because they wanted to bring in new people on cheaper contracts. So they took a punt on it and they lost.
Now, the current contract that people are recruited on, will you explain how that works? Because it seems like you're not guaranteed a 40-hour week and to be paid for it. You kind of might get 20 hours, you might get 25 hours. Explain.
Yeah, they're offering different types of contracts. Mostly they are banded contracts. So you work within a certain band of hours. So they're not offering enough full-time positions to make it attractive for people. Because if you're out of work and you're looking for a job because you need to support your family, 20 hours a week or 25 hours a week at 14 euros an hour is not going to cut it for you. You're going to need something more substantial than that. But there is flex in the system. We have quite a good number of people who are on those reduced hours looking to go to full-time hours, and the DAA won't move them to full-time hours because they say you didn't work up enough of a higher average in your band to justify moving you up. So this is ridiculous, because if you need people, flex up those bands.
Sure.
And let people
there
work
there is
full-time.
A problem though, because the airport, although it's a big international airport now, it is seasonal, like every other airport around Europe. Summertime is very, very busy. Lots of charter flights, intensification by the airlines in terms of the number of routes they offer. So it gets busier. And is it your contention that you actually have to have full-time staff for 12 months of the year, even though in the winter there might be no work for them?
Well, what I'm saying is that seasonal peaks at the airport have been there since the airport has been there. This is not a new issue, right? And we had rosters that worked for years and years and years. This is a post-pandemic problem, because there just aren't enough staff at the moment. I'm not suggesting that there needs to be 100% of full-time people 12 months of the year. It doesn't work that way. There has been an ebb and flow operation there for many, many years that worked very, very well. But the DAA, in my opinion, have just pushed things too far now in terms of what they're trying to do with contracts, with rosters and with pay.
OK, will you tell me what the appetite is for overtime? Because there's one way to kind of resolve the seasonality issue, and that is that the people in the summer work all the hours that God sends and are well paid for it. And then they work a normal week in the slacker months. They just get their 40 hours. But in the summer, they make, you know, they work very hard and they make a lot of pay. Is that doable?
Well, I think that because of the travel patterns now, I mean, like 20 years ago, people traveled in the summer, right? But now people take holidays at all times of the year, and people, business travel all times of the year as well. So the peaks and troughs are not, the troughs are not as deep as they used to be.
Yeah. But is it doable then to have an established number of people that would be permanently employed, even though they might just make a regular income in the winter and the shoulder seasons, but in the summer they'd work very hard, but they'd make a very big amount of money. Is that doable?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure, because you can't rely on overtime to fill a roster. Because, you know, overtime is not productive. It's expensive and people are less productive as the more and more hours they work. And we have working time legislation as well. So I'm not actually sure that that's a practical solution.
Okay, and indeed, if you're staring at a screen, your eyes get tired, your level of alertness may go down the longer you are staring at that.
The level of responsibility with this job is very significant. Yeah. Nobody wants to be the one who misses something and have some something happen. I mean, that's just, you know, we need to be really careful about that.
Now, kind of one of the ideas that I proposed way back in March, just looking at the chaos in Dublin Airport going through it, was triaging the passengers. In other words, if you're arriving with bags, you go into one queue. If you're arriving for a certain flight time window, maybe an hour window, whatever, you go to a particular queue. If you've no baggage at all, you fast track through. Why wasn't that done? Because that seems to me to be a no-brainer. And it now appears it's going to be part of the master plan that the DAA are going to offer to government.
Well, it seems eminently sensible to me, Pat, but that's the question I'd have to ask the DAA.
Yeah, well, we did suggest it, as I say, back in March. They've had 3 months to think about it. Look, Karen, thank you very much for joining us. Just to let you know that the DAA are telling us now at this show, because we were onto them, there are no issues this morning. All is moving well. Oh, by the way, Karen, before I let you go, Leonard has been on. I recently went through the airport. They're now checking with these hand devices for drugs. This never happened to the same extent before COVID. It's adding to delays. Is there a need for this? Is that something to do with the audit that was failed by Dublin Airport? Do you know the extra search for drugs?
I actually don't know, Pat. But I tell you, one of the solutions here is technology. Because if you go through Shannon Airport, you see that they have the body scanner.
Yeah.
And it makes things so much quicker for everybody. Because if you beep on the, if you beep going through the scanner, you just go into the full body scanner, off you go, and you don't have to sort of.
Yeah.
Hold up the queue by standing to the side and being physically searched and all that. So investment in technology is part of the long-term solution here, in my opinion.
All right, Karen, thank you very much for joining us. Karen O'Loughlin, SIPTU Transport, Energy, Aviation and Construction Division Organiser. All right, Darren O'Rourke, Sinn Féin spokesperson on transport, will be asking some of the questions, we presume, of Dalton Phillips. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning, Pat.
What are you going to be demanding of Dalton Phillips?
Well, I think in the first instance, we need guarantees that we won't see the same scenario that we did last weekend, this weekend, because if we don't get that type of guarantee, it's almost self-fulfilling. People will be concerned, people will be anxious.
Sure. No, I understand that you want that reassurance. We've been told overnight, we heard the Minister, Eamon Ryan, saying that there is no guarantee given by DAA that this can be avoided. You know, stuff happens. So asking for a guarantee, you're asking Dalton Phillips, presumably, to give you a stick to beat him with next Monday morning.
No, and I'm including the minister in this because I don't think it's acceptable that the minister would say point and leave it all on the DAA. The DAA, of course, have huge responsibility.
Hang on a second. It's the DAA's job, not the minister's job. I mean, the minister has a large portfolio. It's not his job to take his jacket off and process security.
So I'll tell you why it is, Pat, his responsibility. Because the DAA are responsible for Dublin Airport and they're responsible for Cork Airport. They need, in the first instance, to look at the resources. The issue here is ultimately one of management, or it's one of flow, but ultimately it's an issue of staffing capacity. So if they don't have enough staff, where can you find additional staff that are suitably qualified and have the suitable Garda clearance? Well, the first place I would look, and I think the minister should look, is in the other airports. So the DAA have responsibility for Cork Airport. They don't for Shannon. They don't for Donegal or Kerry or Ireland West. So that's the
okay.
First
so place. What's your information about how much spare capacity they have in Cork?
Well, I don't have the information, but I'll ask Dalton Phillip this afternoon, and I know there were staff deployed for, I think, a number of weeks after March. So that's a question, Pat. So ultimately, the issue here, as I say, is one of staff capacity, of the amount of staff that are available at any given time. And you've heard from Karen there in terms of the types of considerations, in terms of rostering, in terms of qualification. Ultimately, what we need deployed at maximum level are people who are suitably qualified and who have suitable Garda clearance, who are fit to operate the machines, who know their business. And it's not something that you can just drop in, take somebody off the street and make them ready for it.
They made a key decision, and that was to lay people off, make people redundant, and those people, therefore, it seems in law, cannot be brought back. to do the job.
Yeah.
So this was a key management mistake made early in the pandemic, because we didn't know when we'd all be flying normally again. And it did come back with a bit of a rush, it has to be said. But that mistake was a management mistake, a judgment error, if you like. But lots of errors were made in various sectors throughout the pandemic. This one is coming back to ambush us this summer. What do you say to Dalton Phillips about that key decision that has led to this?
Oh, absolutely. You're entirely correct, Pat. It was a gross misjudgment. Whatever the motivation was, I think, you know, there's been lots of criticism, and I would share it in terms of how aggressive they were in their cuts, the amount of staff they lost, not just the amount of staff, not just the number, but the experience, the grades at which staff left. You know, I understand that 80% of experienced members of the search unit, anything up to 80% could have been lost. That makes a difference. That makes a difference because it means your capacity, your organizational capacity is significantly reduced. The DAA might make the case that they did that on the basis of projections, you know, that aviation wasn't going to return until 2024, and there were lots of people saying that.
Yeah.
I would argue, you know, the DAA have a responsibility to know their business, to know the landscape in Ireland, and I would point to two things. First of all, during the pandemic, there was a huge pent-up demand. If all you had to do was talk to people and they were saying, I cannot wait to get away. A huge pent-up demand for recreation, to visit friends and families, maybe less so for business. And then the other piece I would point to, Pat, is we have some of the most aggressive and successful airlines on the planet in this country. So I would say if ever a country was going to rebound well, it was Ireland.
Yeah, but
Ireland,
we're still, I don't think we're up above the 2019 levels yet. So,
but we're close to it.
But you know what I mean? We're getting back to normal, not to excess. Yeah, we're getting back to normal.
They've miscalculated by a factor. They thought that around 2024, we would be back to 2019 levels. It looks like over this summer we will be at 95%.
Now, just you're talking about the judgment there, you being the transport person. Did you warn the DAA at the time of this redundancy program that they were doing the wrong thing?
Absolutely. I'm on the record, and we call for statements, and not just ourselves, other voices within the opposition repeatedly call for statements, for action, for commitments from not just in terms of airports, but also in terms of airlines. There was an aggressive move within the sector as a whole to make significant cuts. I would say cost-cutting cuts rather than preparing themselves for post-pandemic. We specifically made the case that there should be preparations made to ensure that we were fit to rebound. And I have to say, in public and in private, I articulated the opinion that I thought Ireland would be well positioned to rebound it, because I got that perfect sense from people saying, I'm ready to go as soon as the restrictions are lifted. Do you know, and you know, people put their lives on pause. We are an island nation. We are an island of travellers. We travel, we visit, we emigrate, and we have huge connections all over the world. You know, there's a reason why we are such a strong hub in terms of aviation.
All right. Well, look, Darren, we'll be watching that exchange between yourself and Dalton Phillips later on. He, of course, is leaving at the DAA. He's going to make sandwiches with Greencore, and there are problems there too, finding staff and, of course, food supplies. So we'll see how he handles that particular challenge when he takes it up. Sarah Slattery, owner of the travelexpert.ie, listening to all of those conversations. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So, not a reassuring time for passengers, although this morning everything going swimmingly at Dublin Airport. What would your advice be?
Yeah, I things do seem to have improved a little, and I think hopefully we won't see anything like the scenes we saw last weekend. I think whatever announcement is made today, it needs to be clear and concise, because, you know, telling people to get there two and a half hours beforehand for a short haul flight, like, people need to trust it. So I think what you mentioned about the triage system is absolutely that has to be done. We can't have people, like when we saw the scenes last Saturday in the airport, things were really bad on Saturday. And I was following it on social media. And you knew that Sunday people were going to get to the airport 5 and 6 hours in advance because, you know, they were watching people being delayed and the carnage that was there on Saturday. So Sunday, it was kind of building up to that. And I think, you know, we need a clear message saying, you know, there will be a triage system. You can only get into the airport so many hours before, and people standing outside. And so we don't have any of the issues that we had before. And assuming that happens, I think, you know, hopefully things will go well this weekend and people will get off and nobody will miss any flights.
Yeah. I mean, they have obviously parking at the airport. Some of it is distant, but there is coach travel available between those car parks and the airport. And maybe it'll be that if you're, you know, if you arrive too early, you'll be brought to the car park, and when your time comes, you'll be brought to queue. I don't know how they're doing it, but anyway. So the message also, bring your own grub.
Yeah, I mean, I actually wrote a post on tips for getting through Dublin Airport a few months ago. And it's actually only when I read back over it, I realised, you know, so many of them are still really true. You know, we've got so caught up with security and delays that we sort of forget about the basic tips. And, you know, being prepared for security with your liquids and your laptops and all of that, and not having these massive big bags. You know, it's a specific size plastic bag that you're allowed to bring through. So just bear that in mind. But also the likes of, you know, checking in online before you go. Aer Lingus will have the pre-evening before check-in. So if you are checking in a bag and your flight is between 5:30 in the morning and 8:00 in the morning, you can go to the airport the evening before and check your bag in.
Yeah.
Ryanair Fast Track is still available to book on the Ryanair website. I don't know why it's not available anywhere else, but it's still available on the Ryanair website. So if you're traveling with Ryanair, you can do that. So there are a few kind of things.
I mean, if you're stuck outside the terminal building, your Fast Track is no good to you.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's just assuming this. That's only assuming we don't have those scenes outside the airport.
Now, the final thing, Sarah, and it's the worst case scenario, if you miss your flight and it has cost you concert tickets, whatever it might be, and you have been in the airport, you've got to have a record of your presence there, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. I mean, I'm going positive this weekend and assuming we're not going to have those issues. But if there is a problem, bear in mind as well that there's a lot of flight delays and a lot of issues and people, even the flights are getting off, but people are still missing connections and things like that. So make sure you take photographs of the time you get to the airport, keep your receipts. You know, my sister was one of those unfortunate people who was turned away at the airport last weekend. And, you know, she didn't even get inside the terminal, so she didn't even get to go to the desk to say, I'm here. You know, so it's important that you have documentation to prove you've actually been into the airport. And sorry, getting back to what you said as well about food. You know, we've all heard of queues airside for restaurants and that. But also, I found over the last few months traveling that a lot of air flights, they don't have a huge amount of food on board. Or if it's a late in the evening, the trolleys are pretty much empty. So, you know, it's back to the old days of bringing your sandwiches and bringing your food with you. Yeah. You know, just have supplies, be ready for the flight, just to make the overall experience better for you. You know, just have supplies and things with you.
Sarah, thank you very much for joining us. Sarah Slattery, owner of thetravelexpert.ie.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.